This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we're joined by a special music guest, Casey Abrams. Casey, how are you?
Good. How's it going with you,
man? Doing good. I'm super excited to talk with you about your new music that you've got out. First, I want to ask you, how are you doing this year? I know that 2020 has been a crazy year. It's essentially turned the world upside down, with COVID-19 and racial unrest, and it's just been a crazy year. Tell me, how have you been doing this year?
I think it's a really good year because I get to reflect in on what I've been doing and what I can be doing and what's possible, you know, and it's a very creative year because, you know, we mostly have to stay at home and staying home. I'm releasing songs that I wrote like 15 years ago that I've always wanted to release, but never just built up the courage. So this year's the year. And especially with Eve of Destruction, it's time to tell the people what's going on, and you gotta use your voice, you know.
Absolutely, I completely agree. I want to talk to you about Eve of Destruction, but first I wanted to ask you, you're known for being a finalist on American Idol, and you're no stranger to music. What particular song was it that made you fall in love with music and that just kind of sparked an interest in becoming a singer yourself?
There's a couple different influences. I really love the Beatles. My mom would play the Beatles growing up. And then there was some great jazz music like Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald. And then there's kind of the rocky vibe, which is, I love rock and roll music, and a big part of my scat singing, my rock and rollness, my stage presence is all due to Tenacious D, Jack Black's band.
Yeah, Tenacious D is amazing. A lot of people don't know about Tenacious D and it being Jack Black's side project, but I mean, they've got some incredible records. They've been around for a minute too.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. I hear you. I know that you play bass, and, that's, definitely, I would say a hard instrument to master. How would you say, playing bass has helped you, become a better singer and a better songwriter?
I think that it gives you a baseline, and it's super fun, and it gives you another aspect of the song. And I also released a jazz record, and that was really cool because I got to play bass and sing at the same time with some jazz legends. It was really, really awesome. But there's something about just, how you drive a car is also the way that you talk to people. How you play basketball is how you, teach a course, So everything's related. So sometimes I play the bass like it is a piano. And then sometimes I'll play the piano like it's a drum set. And sometimes I'll play the clarinet like a piano, everything is everything. And it's really fun to play the bass like a guitar, because if there's a singer songwriter night and I'll go play, I don't bring my guitar. I just bring my upright bass. And then I sing a song with my upright bass. It's like a one person jazz band,
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I know that, music, the creativity for your music is, it's almost like, it's like a part of your DNA. But as a musical artist and as a creator, has there ever been a time where you've hit like a dry patch or a rough patch where maybe it's hard to be creative. It's hard to you know, because I know like this year has really caused artists to have to become more creative with how they put out their music and also how they create music. I know that, you know, you've said that you're thriving this year, but has there ever been a time where you've had like a rough patch where it's been kind of hard to get out of the funk and write some new music?
I feel like it should only come, you know, when inspiration hits. And, you know, there's been like 2 years where sometimes I don't write a song, you know, and then maybe, you know, sometimes I'll write a part of a song and then 2 years will pass and then I'll write the next part of the song. And then bam, I have a song. It's crazy. But, it's so funny because sometimes I found that, what's the word? Procrastination can lead to other great things, you know, which is not the best, but like, I guess maybe sometimes I have an ADD mind, and if I'm working on editing a video, which I'll edit my own music videos, and I'm kind of in a rough patch, I'll move to something, you know, like I'll go to GarageBand and just start writing a song, and then sometimes that song is amazing, and then I'll be like, you know what, I need to put this out tomorrow, and I do. But that's also good because it gives your brain a break from what you're working on. Sometimes you need to take a couple steps back and if I write a song, you know, co-write a song with someone, we'll write it and then, you know, sometimes I don't listen to the song for a good 5 days, right? Or, you know, however many times. You got to just, you know, get it out of your mind so then you can step back into it with a fresh perspective.
Absolutely.
I think that there's days, weeks, and years where what you're working on, you're getting a lull, you know, I'm working on a little short film right now, and it's, you know, there's a lot of editing to do, so you can't just sit there and glue your eyes to the screen. You could. To balance, though, you can't. If you sit there the whole time, your creativity your creativity is going to lower. Detriment. That's a good word, right?
Yeah.
It's a balance. It's a balance. You know, I'm a firm believer. You got to work hard, but you also got to play hard. And your funness shows through your work. And I remember my bass teacher, Marshall Hawkins, up in Idlewild Arts, where I went to school. It's like 2 hours east of LA. Really cool school. We would start practicing for our jazz recitals. I was a jazz major, and he would say, "All right, you guys got the changes down?" And we'd be like, "Yeah." So we would start playing the changes. And then it would start feeling really good. And then, like, then someone would come in with a horn solo, and we'd be like, okay. And then he would be like, stop. And we'd be like, what? And he's like, save it. Where I always remember him saying, save it. You know, and what I think that is we got to keep it fresh. Because if you can take the solo of your life backstage and no one will hear it, and then you go on stage and it's not your first gut reaction / solo, right?
Right.
So it's Charlie. He had a quote, which was, "I practice on the bandstand." He doesn't like go to back to his house and practice. He goes onto the bandstand. He goes on stage, and just plays whatever he feels. And if he hits the wrong note, he knows he'll either hit that wrong note more times or less times the next time. You know, you're always going to go on stage and hit some note that you didn't expect to hit, right?
Yeah.
So it's that, you know, it's they're keeping it fresh is huge. That's the bottom line.
Hey, man, I love it. Speaking of new, you've got a new single out that you've done with Cyndi Lauper, and I think it's an amazing song. It's called the Ebook Instruction. Tell me a little bit about it. What sparked? I guess what was the motivating factor to do this single?
Well, it's exactly what you've been saying. You know, this year can be seen pretty crazy, right? And this song was written, I think, 50s or 60s, and my mom had shown it to me, and it's all about it's a protest song about like how everything is going crazy, and it's a little bit different times, but still like we upgraded some of the lyrics. You know, change a couple of the places, a couple of the happenstances, you know, and it really relates to today, you know, and it just felt like it was the right time to do it, and it's really encouraging people to vote, you know, just go out and vote.
Absolutely, I love it. I think it's really poignant. I wanted to ask, you know, how did the collaboration with Cyndi Lauper come about?
Well, my people at the record company, Chesky, they reached out to her, and it was a long shot. We had already recorded the song. I actually recorded it in May. So I was in the middle of my jazz tour, and it got cut because of COVID. So I was in New York, and let's record this song, see how it goes. And the record company was like, yeah, it's not a bad idea. So we went to the studio, we recorded it, we changed a couple of lyrics, and then over the next few months, we would go back into the studio, record it some more, change a couple of lyrics here and there, and we got it. So we knew that we wanted to put it out to encourage people to vote so around this time. But we were like, you know, like, maybe we could get Cyndi Lauper, you know, my record label dude. He knew someone who knew her. So we just reached out. It was like a kind of a shot in the dark. And we were a little nervous. Cyndi Lauper, she's got things to do. She's not, you know, so I was like, let's just, we're going to release it. And then, like, 4 weeks ago, my record dude hits me up and he's like, here's Casey Abrams featuring Cyndi Lauper with the song. I'm like, what? She did it? So I listened to it in my car. I was like, oh my God, this is insane. So that's really how it happened.
Man, that's awesome. And like, what was it like working with her? Cause I know, like, you know, it's not every day that somebody meets Cyndi Lauper. Was this like, would you say that this was like a childhood dream come true, or was it?
Yes. Yeah, it was definitely, yeah, because I've listened to her, you know, one of my favorite things is, if you call, I will get you, I will someday, I love that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's like embodied in me, and such a beautiful song. So the fact that, you know, that was kind of like almost like a duet with a guy. So I feel like I was that guy, you know.
Yeah.
It was great. It was amazing. She's awesome.
Man, that is awesome. I wanted to ask, I mean, the song is, it's amazing. Do you have any plans? Are you currently working on an extended LP or album?
Yes, I'm working on music constantly. I'll put out a song here and there. Like I have actually like 3 music videos and songs that I'm gonna put out really soon.
Okay.
I used to do it like every week, but there's a lot of crazy things happening. I'm actually working on shooting a little short film right now. But after that, I'm gonna start releasing some music videos. They'll probably just be all singles. And then maybe at the end of the year, I'll group a couple of them into like a playlist or an album.
Okay, very cool, very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking forward to that. I also wanted to ask you, I know that, COVID has kind of changed the way that that we enjoy and that we experience live music. And, you know, a lot of artists have been doing a lot of like virtual performances. Do you have any virtual performances yourself coming up?
I don't have any plan, but that is not a bad idea. I think I'm going to have to do that. I've done a couple stage-it shows, so I might do that. But I did a couple things for charity, this thing, Musicians for Health. I did that maybe about a week ago. And there's some more that will be coming up at some point. But I really look forward to the day where it's the live stuff, and I plan on doing something here in L.A. It's only a matter of time before the small 60-seater clubs are opened, you know, because people are in airplanes, right? And people are, at sporting events. So it's like, why not have just a couple of the music venues open right now? Just a couple, you know, and just a small one. So. But I post everything in case I do have one of those, virtual concerts. I posted on my social media, which is Casey Basie.
Okay. That actually leads into my next question. I was wondering, how can people get in touch with you and check out your social media? Are you active on social?
Pretty active. I'll post a lot of things there. And I'm Casey Basie on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. See some TikToks every once in a while. I am Casey Abrams on Facebook, Casey Basie on YouTube, and I have a Patreon, which is where you can become a patron of my art form and donate some money to help me create my art and do these music videos that I do.
Man, I love it. Patreon is a great thing for artists. And
I love it.
You had mentioned, I think at the start of the interview, that you were currently working on a movie.
Yeah, it's a little short film.
Very cool. Is there anything you could tell us about it?
It's kind of part of all I can tell you right now. It's part of a reunion, and it's a 10-year reunion. That's all I'll say.
Okay. Awesome. Will it be available to the public at some point, or?
For sure. Yeah, the public will be able to see it for sure.
Awesome. Well, sounds good, Casey. I wanted to say thank you, and I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
Folks, what I'd like to say is. Everything's a balance, and there's bad things, but there's so many great things, and it helps you and everyone who's around you if you just focus on the light. Just let it happen, and don't ignore the bad, but just focus on the light and move towards the light. Not like dying, but move towards the happy. I'll say. Move Towards the Happy. That's the name of my next album.
Love it. I love it, Casey. That's some great advice, man. Move Towards the Light.
Thanks.
That is great. Great advice. Casey, thank you so much.
Thanks, Walter. Really appreciate it, man.
You're welcome. No problem. Bye.